Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Last week, we promised everybody that we would talk about Grand Avenue, and I think that's the first time we've ever teased something without actually, like, talking about it at all, so we better open with this just to make sure we get to it.
It's because follow-up has become such a thing that I'm kind of scared that we won't get to actual topics, so I felt like I needed to backdoor this one into follow-up, so that way we could actually, because this has been on our notes for, what, at least 2 or 3 weeks now?
Yeah,
and we've never been able to, well, okay, so probably at least 3 weeks, if not 4 weeks, because we skipped thanks to our inability to get scheduling together.
Yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah, we're gonna work on that. But
which
anyway,
is also going to probably get much worse in the coming months, because not only am I moving, but I also have a baby coming. So
yay! Yeah. So follow up, Jeremy is expecting. Well, actually, his wife's expecting. He's expecting to have to do something eventually. But congratulations to you guys. I have known for a little bit, but you have now officially announced it on the podcast. So we all congratulate you, and we all mourn for a moment at your inability to ever get back to the parks for the next 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 years.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to leave the kid with the grandparent and just lie to them.
Oh,
mommy and daddy have to go to a meeting for a week.
Right. If I could only count the number of times that my mother has told me, oh, when you guys have kids, we should definitely take the kid to the parks. And I'm like, I'm not taking the kid to the park.
Right.
And she said, oh, we'll bring them. And then grandma will. And I'm like, only if grandma takes them somewhere where I'm not, which I know sounds really, really cold. But if you've been in the parks and you've seen young children in the parks, you understand.
Yeah.
And I don't know, somebody is listening to this podcast and you have the most amazing kids and they are perfect. But working in the parks, I saw so many bad things go down that it's a lot of money to take a kid into the parks. And that scares me. So
yeah,
I totally stand behind your decision. You know what? Leave the kid with the grandparents and bring the kid a little bit later on, you know, and let them enjoy.
Right.
You can still bring them when they are, you know, when they are plenty young enough to enjoy all of the, you know, Mickey's Toontown type attractions, the younger attractions.
Sure.
But actually be old enough to enjoy those attractions rather than just being petrified by them.
Yeah. And to remember the trip and stuff.
Yes, minus the 4 million pictures you will inevitably have, and and, you know, 200 terabytes of video you will inevitably have of whatever that initial trip is. But anyway, once again, congratulations to you and the wife the upcoming kiddo. And do we have an estimated time of arrival?
Yeah, ETA is mid-October.
Okay, so mid-October. You guys may start hearing some not quite as timely topics, because we will probably be recording a couple of extra episodes. So we've got something we can stick in there. We might do a couple more of those. What was it? The bring it back, kill it, or refurb it sort of things. some of those topics would be good. So you know what? If you guys have a good idea for a what we like to call evergreen topic, something that we could talk about whenever and it would still be good, go ahead and pass those along, because clearly we're going to need them come October. But until October, we can talk more timely topics. And I do think Grand Avenue is still a timely topic. And Grand Avenue is one of those really weird things in that we get the announcement from this Disney Parks, you know, press release, blog, or whatever, about the Baseline Tap House.
Yeah, this is a weird way to announce a new area, by announcing a restaurant and saying, well, it'll be in Grand Avenue. It's like, what is Grand Avenue?
Yeah. So I've looked all over the place, and I can find no evidence that Disney hinted to or announced anything about this, the existence of this I don't want to call it land, but area, prior to this announcement about the Baseline Tap House. But yeah, it opens up. Debuting this fall, the new Grand Avenue area of Disney's Hollywood Studios is being reimagined by Walt Disney Imagineering to capture the spirit of present-day downtown Los Angeles, showcasing vintage office buildings and warehouses representing the different vibrant districts and cultures of the city. So there you go. There is Disney's announcement of Grand Avenue. So Grand Avenue will be modern-day or present-day downtown L.A., and you're going to have a mixture of buildings. So essentially, you know all those buildings that they've been holding on to from Streets of America?
Right.
That's Grand Avenue. You know how they redid Muppet 3D and we were all like, what the heck? Why are you redoing that theater?
Grand Avenue.
Grand Avenue, which is weird because Muppet 3D is part of the Courtyard, right?
Yeah, but obviously that's going to go away.
Well,
Muppet's Courtyard.
But they said the Courtyard was going to still be a part of Disney's Hollywood Studios moving forward.
Huh.
Or is it, or I'm kind of wondering if it's one of those things where the Courtyard will be visible from Grand Avenue. So it's, you know, it's kind of like Adventureland being visible from Frontierland. So therefore you have the top of the Tiki Room has the cattle that makes sense in Adventureland, but also makes sense in Frontierland, sort of a thing. Or that you can see Tower of Terror from Morocco?
Yeah.
So you paint it a neutral color so that it still blends in from that area. I'm wondering if it's one of those sort of things, or yeah, is the I'm not really sure about the whole Courtyard and how that plays into Grand Avenue. But anyway, the moral of the story is we aren't completely losing Streets of America. Streets of America is just being refurbed into this thing called Grand Avenue.
Well, and how does modern day LA fit into Hollywood Studios? Because Hollywood Studios is themed to like 1930s LA.
So you're talking like Sunset and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and Streetmosphere. I mean, the citizens of Hollywood are very clearly, you know, caricatures of old timey movie directors and actors.
Yeah, but right now the Streets of America isn't, or you know, wasn't, I should say, wasn't themed to that. Star
right.
Wars Land will not be themed to that. Pixar will not, or sorry, Toy Story Land will not be themed to that. So
yeah, but those aren't. I mean, it's the same theme, just changing decades.
Yeah, I'm not sure why this is a thing. Like, why all of this isn't just Star Wars Land, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because I mean, the location, like Star Wars, but maybe it's necessary to do the transition between Star Wars Land and Muppet Courtyard or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it might be.
And
the neutral zone.
So I saw somebody make a suggestion, and I don't know how they're, because in some way, shape, or form, that is the transitional area to Star Wars Land, right?
I think so, yeah. I'm still a little bit confused about the geography of Hollywood Studios as it pertains to Star Wars Land.
And Toy Story Land and all that
Toy
kind of stuff.
Toy Story Land's pretty obvious to me because, like, the entrance is through where the Pixar place is now. So that, or at least one entrance. So that makes a little more sense to me, but geography based, you know, around Star Wars Land, I'm still a little iffy on, like, where that actually will be.
Yeah. So if it is, somebody had made the suggestion on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I don't know who to attribute this to, but that in Grand Avenue, you could have a theater that had Star Wars on the marquee and walk through that theater entrance or whatever, and that would be your entrance into Star Wars Land.
Hmm.
And that to me sounds kind of brilliant. I don't think that's what's going to actually happen, but you know, similarly, I think Disney's going to have to use this as somewhat a transitional area. And you know, so it's going to go where the Baseline Tap House, which is the thing that the press release talks about, is going to go into the area where Rider Stop It was. So that part makes sense to me because after I saw this, I started thinking, otherwise, what were you going to do to the sci-fi, you know, dine-in. How was that going to fit into Muppet's Courtyard or into, and it's still probably a bit of a push to say this belongs in, you know, present day downtown LA, but I guess
That'll be interesting because that's kind of like way back there on its own too.
Yeah, it's kind of on an island, so we will see how that all. But again, basically, Grand Avenue is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios. We know there's going to be a tap house there, you know, so you'll have a bar. We know that Sci-Fi Dine-In is practically right there, so it's going to be part of this most likely. And what else happens from there? I don't know. Like, does sci-fi get rethemed?
Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater is like a mainstay of Hollywood Studios. That would be a bummer because it's super unique.
But I could make the argument that Streets of America had become a mainstay of Hollywood Studios, and they didn't have any trouble doing that one in.
I guess you're right.
You know, they can't do it in right now because there's not enough stuff to be open. But right. Once you had Toy Story open and whatever dining experience comes there, and Star Wars open and whatever dining experiences come there, maybe you've got the time to close it. Because again, it just seems like a weird, like this whole. So I think about Brown Derby, right? You've got the little lounge/bar area off to the side of it. Yeah. And it complements the Brown Derby. But how does a tap house complement the Sci-Fi Dine-In? They're two extremely different themes.
Yeah.
And they're going to be essentially right. Well, and to some extent, I will admit, Writer's Stop didn't really complement it either. So maybe that could be the argument for the other side, but I don't know. This Grand Avenue is weird. But again, some part of me wonders if you've got this area and it's a lot smaller than what Streets of America was, but you could sure throw up some Christmas lights on it. No one would complain about it, Disney. But yeah, I don't know. Grand Avenue is weird, but what's really weird is just the way they chose to announce it. Surely at some point they will give us a little bit more information about Grand Avenue, but that is what we know for now. Also on follow-up, as we've now spent half... See, this is why I have to backdoor things into follow-up, because we have spent half this episode talking. Let's get through the rest of this follow-up. Concept art showing that Mickey's Fun Wheel is becoming Pixar Fun... We are now transitioning all the way across the country over to Disney's California Adventure to talk a little Pixar Pier. And so there was one piece of art that came out of the D23 thing to kind of showcase what we were going to see. And in that piece of art, we essentially get to see Bing Bong's Confectionery, which I know you're super excited about, Jeremy, and the Pixar Fun Wheel, and a really big Pixar bouncy ball fountain thing, and a theater. Those are essentially the four things that take place in this piece of concept art. We're going to have a link in the show notes to an article from Mice Chat talking a little bit more about this. But let's just start with that, because you were the one who put this in the show notes, and you put concept art shows that Mickey's Fun Wheel is becoming Pixar Fun Wheel?
Well, the only thing that I am trying to figure out, like, I think Pixar Pier is a great idea, but I really would have rather that have been, like, Woody's Fun Wheel. You know, I think I said that a couple episodes ago, but, like, what goes in the middle of Pixar Fun Wheel? Do you put Luxo Jr. in the middle?
Nah, you put the ball.
The ball?
The ball.
That's my only thing, is like, I think it would be more fun if there was a character in the middle. Like, if Woody's face was in the middle instead of Mickey's.
How about that big, creepy, is it in Tokyo Disneyland where they have the big, creepy Woody face?
Oh, at the entrance to Toy Story Midway Mania?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You know the one that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's nightmare inducing, and that is what needs to be at the entrance or on Mickey or excuse me, Pixar Funwheel.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I would never go on it if that's what was on there.
Barring that, I mean, I feel like the so Luxo makes sense in some ways, but I think the ball has the advantage that it's round, so it maybe works better. Luxo is just so tall that I'm not sure it plays well on a wheel.
On a circle. Yeah. I could see the ball.
Yeah. And so
do people associate that ball with Pixar?
Oh, absolutely.
Much?
Absolutely. Okay. I think and again, they've got this fountain displayed, and I think that's the reason why the ball is in the middle of the fountain is because yeah, Luxo and the ball together make up Pixar in people's minds. So I don't think they would have any trouble with that. That being said, I do agree with you that a character would be much stronger. And if you're going to go with a character that represents Pixar, as far as brand recognition goes, I don't think you can go more right than to go with Woody.
Woody, yeah. Woody is it.
Yeah, but it's not Woody's Funwheel. It's the Pixar Funwheel.
And this is it's in a picture, you know, it's in concept art, so it could change. But that just struck me as funny that it's the Pixar Funwheel on Pixar Pier. And I think Pixar Pier is enough Pixar branding for that area. And they should call it Mickey.
Nah, we gotta have you can never have too much Pixar. So something is going to go on the fun wheel. And again, check your show notes. We've got this story from micechat.com, and they are saying that from their research, they have found that Pixar Pier will be taking over the area from Ariel's Grotto all the way to California Screamin' across the boardwalk up to the old Malibuumer pad. So it's taking up most of Which is also weird to me. It's taking up most of the pier, but it's not taking up all of the pier, right? So it's supposed to, like, basically where the Silly Symphony swings are, that's not going to be Pixar Pier.
For now.
But I would think
that eventually the whole thing would be transitioned.
But why not? Why don't you transition the whole thing at once? Is that not going to be more... I don't know, confusing to see part of it without all of it?
I don't know. While I think it's a good idea, it is a little confusing about something. So I don't think it'll hurt because people don't care. I think most people really don't care that the whole thing is themed. Like most of it is themed and that's good enough. But yeah, I don't know why, unless they're working on attractions for, or like, you know, overlays for the other stuff, and they're just not going to be ready in time.
Yeah, so they are suggesting that essentially the theater that we are seeing would become a theater for Turtle Talk with Crush.
Yeah.
Which
is good. Turtle Talk with Crush is awesome.
Yeah, they have it, but it's in the animation attraction, and it's just kind of, you know, and Mice Chat brings up that it's in pretty much a barren theater, right? It's not designed around the concept of Turtle Talk with Crush. This theater, like Tokyo Disneyland, could actually be designed, or Tokyo DisneySea could actually be designed around knowing that you're going to be experiencing Turtle Talk with Crush. So.
Right.
It could
right.
be a lot more immersive. There is discussion that you could have an Incredibles-themed spinner ride that would be added on because essentially there's a barren pad right now over around California Screamin'. So they would actually add a new attraction with that. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about in this entire article, right? So we've talked about Pixar Funwheel. The other thing that I want to talk about is the fact that this article, and you can back me up here, Jeremy, that neither one of us had heard anything about this prior, and we were just totally shooting from the hip. California Screamin' will close for a 6-month refurbishment just after Christmas to receive an incredible storyline built around Dash.
It just makes sense with the launch and everything. That's the only Pixar character that makes sense, and I think that's amazing.
I totally agree with you, but we called that. Yeah. We totally now remember, this isn't Disney announcing this. This is MiceChat.com, which is it's a pretty well respected, but they're picking up what they're hearing from their WDI contacts and things like that. But I'm still impressed that what I felt like was a little bit of us just kind of, armchair imagineering here. You know what? Dash, Incredibles, that would make a good thing for the, appears to be what is coming to pass. So yeah,
it would make a good thing. Apparently.
Hey, if they just lock that Dash, that little Dash character to the back, we are going to be set.
Yeah, that
we
would
will.
Be awesome.
We will have totally called it. And then we can go collect our checks from WDI. But yes, a lot of new stuff is coming with Pixar Pier. And I don't know. I think as more announcements are coming, I'm a little bit more excited about it. I'm always hesitant to get my hopes too high for changing an area to a different theme. Because
especially an IP based theme.
Yeah, I'm always afraid it's going to be a Jingle Cruise. But
yeah,
this doesn't sound like it's going to be a Jingle Cruise. We're at least getting some moved attractions, a new attraction. Not an e-ticket, but a new attraction, and I'm okay with things like that. So we will see what comes to pass. So let's see. I think that only leaves us with one other thing in the follow up, Jeremy.
Yeah, this confuses me. Apparently, you order minivans with the Lyft app. So we've talked, a lot about minivans, and
you meant to say mini e-vans, right?
I super did not. We've talked a lot about minivans,
mini e,
over the past few episodes, and we said. One rumor we talked about was that you would have a separate app to order these minivans in, and I said that would be a terrible idea if it was a separate app, and I still think that. Apparently, Disney has partnered with Lyft for these minivans, which makes sense because Lyft already had all the infrastructure involved in ordering cars and stuff, so I can understand that, and Lyft also is at least not as publicly a garbage company as Uber is, so that's also good. But oh man, it just stinks to have a separate app on your phone to order a car, like a Disney car from Disney. I feel like they should have built that functionality into the My Disney Experience app. And it's hard to test it, and I haven't actually looked on my Disney Experience app to see if there's any kind of a button that just sends you over to the Lyft app, or if your concierge at your hotel is just supposed to tell you, you need the Lyft app. But I think that's a mistake. I think they should have taken the time to build Lyft APIs or something into the My Disney Experience app to make that a one-stop shop, because that app does everything. That app does wait times. That app lets you check into your room now. I mean, that app does everything. And then to have this service that is a Disney-run car service necessitate a separate app, just, I think that's a mistake.
So I do agree that it would be beneficial to have the My Disney Experience app do this. But as you said, Lyft already has the infrastructure built. They already have the ability, things like telling you how far out your car is. You can expect this car in 5 minutes. And then, boom, you get the notification that the car, like all of that stuff is already built into the Lyft app. So it's a lot simpler, a lot quicker to get up and running with the Lyft app. And so I don't know that it will always be this way. It is somewhat interesting to me that the Lyft app is continuing to offer Lyft cars. Right. So it's not it doesn't just offer you, you know, you can click the thing to enter into the what the minivan or the mini E van experience.
Almost.
But you know, otherwise you're just going to continue to call a standard Lyft vehicle. And I think even once you've activated those, you see, you know, and we're gonna put a link to blogmickey.com, who did a great write-up on everything involved here and has lots of good photos from the app. You know, essentially they show that you can get the mini E-van for $17 to $20 from Disney, or you can get a Lyft with four seats for $6 to $11. And that car is going to take you 3 minutes to get here, or you can get the mini E-van in 1 minute. I'm willing to wait 2 minutes to save $9 because I'm a cheapskate.
And I'm surprised they let that happen.
Well, but they did. But how did they have a choice? They're not going to ban Lyft from property. But again, as we've discussed, what works for you and I, because we can get four seats. Guess what, Jeremy? In about 2 months now?
Yeah.
the mini E-van is going to sound a lot more attractive to you because it's going to have the the child seats,
right,
in it.
The car seat, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to have the car seat in it, and it's going to be, you know, it's also that $20 flat fee. You're not going to have to tip, you know, so all of that's already taken care of for you. It's already all sorted out. So I can still see it being useful here. The other thing is that while you suggest, you know, having a separate app is awkward, I don't know that it is as much, because I don't know how much this experience is meant to be a core Disney experience right now. I feel like to some extent this experience is for those people who would have used a service like this anyway. Let's try to show them that Disney has this available.
No, I disagree. I disagree with that. They're pimping this hard. I mean, they are like, the minivans is, I mean, look at them. You know, they're SUVs painted red with white polka dots. Like, this isn't some little thing that they're wanting to, you know, test. Obviously, they're testing it at the beach club right now, or yacht, whichever one. But I think that they want this to be as core a Disney experience as buses. Maybe not at this second, but quickly.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm saying, is not right at the second. So if you remember many years ago now, probably, because I don't know, I feel like we've been doing this podcast forever. But there was a time when we talked about, I remember the ABC commissary started offering, they were doing a test of mobile ordering at ABC Commissary, but it was through an entirely separate app, right? And you had to go and place your order in this app, and then your food would be ready. And we were like, yeah, that sounds really cool, but as with all Disney tests, it's just a test, and we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now more and more restaurants, it seems like, are, you know, it's more and more quick service locations, it seems like every day are signing on with the My Disney Experience mobile ordering. I feel like two more were just added within the last couple of days from when we're recording. Geez, I don't even remember. But
Cosmic Rays just got it.
Yeah, but I think somebody even got it more recently than them. But,
okay,
you know, Cosmic Rays has it. Tomorrowland Terrace has it. But it started out in Pandora, right?
Right.
With Satouli Canteen.
Yeah.
So you saw it. So if you think back, you saw it way back when over at ABC Commissary, and it was being tested, but it wasn't being, they didn't build out the My Disney Experience part of it at that point. They just tested it with somebody else's app, and then they decided this works, and then they launched it, you know, then they redid it and launched it in their own app. And I wonder if that's not what's happening here. I know with announcing it at D23, and you know, the number of cars that they've devoted to this, that it's not likely going to be an experiment that they're going,
right,
to then shutter and say, well, nope, that didn't work, we're not doing
yeah,
that. But I think to some extent it is still an experiment, and maybe at the point that it launches at every hotel, maybe we will see it in the My Disney Experience app at that point. But I, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
So the only thing about comparing this to the ABC Commissary app test is that when you were at Magic Kingdom or Animal Kingdom or Epcot, you would have no idea that that was happening. Because if you weren't at Hollywood Studios, you would have no need to know about anything that ABC Commissary was doing. These vans are everywhere. You know, you can only get them, you know, at the one resort right now. And I totally understand, you know, what you're saying about they test and then things go wide. And these will probably go wide quicker than most things because it's expensive. They've invested a boatload of money into
this. Right. They've already pushed it so far.
But yeah, but they're everywhere, you know, and they're bright and they're eye catching. And they did announce it at D23. And I just think that it just seems like this is something that they're really pushing as you know, what you said, a core Disney experience. And they want this to be in people's minds even before they can get it. You know about the minivans, even if you're staying at Coronado or Caribbean Beach. You know that they're a thing. And it strikes me different. And if I were them, I wouldn't want something that we care about so much to be dependent on another app when they've tried, you know, so hard and done so much in the My Disney Experience app. So the reason that I think it's a mistake, and so much so, is that it just feels like they're not taking the extra time to build this into My Disney Experience. Betrays how much they're pushing it and how much they really seem to care about it.
It does. It does. And now the other question, the one that you and I don't know the answer to, and at some point, I don't know, maybe next earnings call we'll know for sure, is Lyft subsidizing this somehow?
Yeah.
Is this a way of getting, you know what, you're on property, you want to use the mini e-vans, well, you got to install the Lyft app. And then when you get home, well, you already have the Lyft app installed.
Yeah.
Why don't you keep using the Lyft app? Wow, this is so convenient. It's just like I'm at Disney all the time.
I want to know what the meeting was like where Lyft said, yeah, we'll do this, but also we're going to keep our own service for half the price and have it show up right next to yours. That just seems crazy. Like, that's ballsy, you know, to say, yeah, we'll do your $20 car service, but we're also going to have ours show up for $6.
And Disney says, yeah, you can do that, and we'll continue to be Disney, and people will pick us because we're Disney, and they're like, I want a cast member, not some rando.
I want the red van with the white polka dots.
That's right. And again, once again, recognize I've used these sorts of services multiple times, and I've never had a quote-unquote rando that was anything other than an amazing service. But that is the way that, you know, that is what Disney's expecting, is people are willing to pay more for what they will perceive as a higher level of service. And when it's a Disney service, you perceive it as a higher level of service. It's the same reason that you don't go, you know, well, plus you don't have a vehicle anymore, but, you know, why you will pay more to go and eat on property than going to the steakhouse that is just off property or something.
Right.
There is a perceived value with the Disney brand behind it. And I think that's what they're shooting for with the putting the mini e-vans there along with everything else. They're saying, hey, people are going to continue to pick it. And those are the people that we want. And if somebody's really that price sensitive, allow them the option to pick this. But guess what? They're going to have to, and I do suspect that Disney is being very hard line with Lyft and saying, yeah, you guys can continue to show yours, but guess what? It had better not drive around and go pick somebody up it goes and picks up at the entrance to
right.
their hotel.
Yeah.
And it drops them off at this one location that we have authorized. You don't
yeah.
have some driver just going and dropping off where the mini e-vans get to do that.
I bet that's true. Lyft drivers have to be incredibly strict with the rules.
Yeah, because at this point, Disney now has some control over that. So that Correct. Could be that again, there are so many things that are kind of up in the air here, but yeah, it's a little bit weird that, you know, I think we both fully expected the My Disney Experience app was going to be the app for this, or that Disney was going to randomly show some other app, but I was never expecting to hear Lyft app is where right. you do this.
Right. Well, Brad, we spent a whole nother episode on follow-up.
Does that mean that we won't have any follow-up for next episode?
I think so. I can't imagine anything we're going to have to follow up on the things that we followed up on this week.
You say that now, but I don't know. All I know is we have five things in the notes, two of which have been there over 2 months at this point.
Yeah.
you know, we just got done getting rid of talking about the Pandora preview during the Disney Christmas parade. Because I don't know. I'm sorry I did that, but I finally pulled it from the topic, so you guys aren't going to get to hear about it from us.
In August.
Yeah. But either way, yeah, we've got a couple of topics. Hopefully we can get to some new topics. And hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing about the topics we did have to cover.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.